I did point out that we'll be chatting to Eldred de Klerk, who's a policing expert with the Africa Center for Security and Intelligence. This fatal shooting, it's still up in the air as to what actually happened. There's no CCTV footage at the moment, and Alderman J.P. Smith can explain why. But this fatal shooting of the undercover SAPS officer in the CBD by law enforcement has upset the Minister of Police, Beckett Keller, as investigators cannot access the CCTV footage of the actual incident. Constable Thando Sikhu was shot and killed on the 7th of January in Yerengracht Streets near the Burger King while apprehending a robbery suspect when two of the Cape Town law enforcement officers arrived on the scene. Shots were fired, hitting the constable and the robbery suspect. The police officer succumbed to his wounds. The MACO member for safety and security, J.P. Smith, said the city has no CCTV footage of the actual incident. Now, this is despite the CBD being under a blanket of CCTV coverage. So before Eldred de Klerk gives us the insight into the nature of undercover policing, Alderman J.P. Smith joins you now. J.P., good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Kino.
All right, so everybody's asking the question, why no CCTV footage? Is it as simple as saying that, well, there's a blind spot in that particular area where this took place?
Well, for starters, let's just get to the facts. The national minister is being factually inaccurate. City did not deny the access to footage. I spoke to the Hawks myself. And up until the point, or beyond the point, where clearly had in fact made that statement, they hadn't asked for the footage. Mm. There was a casual conversation between city staff at the night at the incident, where the staff said they had called the control room and said, "Do you have visuals of the incident?" And they went and checked and said no. So but remember, a camera looks in one direction at a time. It's like a human being. It faces in a particular direction. It has not 360-degree vision. So it is entirely possible a camera can miss an incident. But in that case, the camera is also obstructed by a whole range of trees on that sidewalk along the edge of Adderley Street. So to resolve the matter, I asked the officials at the end of last week, just give all the footage for an hour before and an hour after so that everybody can satisfy themselves about what has or hasn't been seen. And the Standard Bank footage SAPS will need to get themselves because we don't control that, we don't own it, and nor do we have the legal power to get it from Standard Bank. So that's exclusively within SAPS's hand. So there is no attempt at concealing anything. What is problematic, though, is the sort of trial by media and political prejudging of the outcome of a criminal process, and that I'm getting very worried about because it creates in the minds of many a concern about whether the police who have to investigate this, if their national minister is prejudging the outcomes, will act in a fair and free manner. And I think that in and of itself is going to create some problems and legal problems as this process unfolds.
Listen, I think it's important for us to have all the facts laid bare. What do we know about what happened on that day?
Well, that's exactly what you're asking for us now, exactly what I suggest we should not be doing. Because you cannot explore in the court of public opinion on the media the nuances and intricacies of these matters. We are hearing these things secondhand. As a politician, neither myself nor Minister Beckett clearly should be briefed on the details of the investigation. That would be highly irregular. So I'm hoping that he knows as little about it as I do, because we shouldn't be micromanaging or interfering with the investigation. But I can tell you that what has been shared with me to date through various conversations is the facts vary vastly between the different people at the scene. The officers in question have a very different version of how things unfolded. Their version is corroborated by the audio of the hand radio call that accompanies the incident. And I think that as more facts unfold, we will have to determine who did what and who may or may not have responded to which request for identification or otherwise. Those matters will then determine if the officers did wrong, because I'm not in the business of defending staff who do wrong. If they did wrong, they must face the consequences. Nobody here is going to try and and cover up for a stop and we do wrong.
But a fair investigation.
Director Richard Bosman is only too happy to take action against people who engage in misconduct. So we're not going to cover up for anybody.
Yeah, well, bottom line is we need to allow a fair investigation to continue without it being clouded and tainted by all sorts of other things, you know, preconceived ideas, et cetera, et cetera. So, J.P. Smith, thank you very much for that. Alderman J.P. Smith. Now, Eldred de Klerk, policing expert with the Center for Security and Intelligence. Good to have you on the show, sir.
Good morning, Kino, and good morning to your listeners. And yeah, compliments of the season, belated as it is.
Oh, no, belated Happy New Year. January's still not gone. So, we're all waiting for the 25th. But anyway. I think JP makes a good point. There needs to be an investigation. The facts need to be put on the table. And once the investigation is concluded, then one needs to then look at the balance of those facts and one can then comment on it. Would you agree?
Indeed. Unfortunately, what we have now is a situation where we have to extend our condolences to a police officer, and we hope that the law enforcement officers involved and everybody else immediately affected receive the necessary counseling and then, of course, the necessary legal and institutional support in dealing with this matter. Unfortunately, these kind of things, as we call police on police or blue on blue shootings, are not unfamiliar. They happen worldwide, and they happen under very peculiar but also yet very predictable circumstances. And from this, we have to learn. So I'm hoping that all agencies set their bickering aside and actually learn from this incident to make sure that we try to avoid this going forward. And that we institutionalize the practices that and evidence-based practices that we get from these kind of incidences. For example, let's be clear, this wasn't an undercover officer. It was what we call, in technical terms, a plain-clothed police officer. Yeah? Because routinely this police officer would otherwise be in uniform. So there's no reason why so it's likely that the police officer did have his firearm with him, and that at some point that will probably become evident in a scuffle that there's a gun that is on the holster of the officer. Secondly, there's no reason why this officer couldn't be fitted with a ballistic vest, for example. Thirdly, there's no reason why this officer couldn't have clear identification that shouldn't be at waist level, but that should be either at chest or at least neck level, where in any eventuality that this identification can be seen, and that identification should have been taken out while the officer was pursuing the particular suspect to make clear that anybody looking at him would understand that that's a police officer in pursuit of the suspect. So there's a whole kinds of other issues. Also, the low light conditions often play into these things. Mm. And then thirdly, there's a reflex reaction when an officer is confronted by another officer, because you almost assume that somebody would understand that you were a police officer, because that's,
yes.
That's who you've been your whole life. You act like them, you walk like them, and you talk like them. So, when JP makes the point in terms of, did this upper officer, for example, shout out, police, friendly, make an arrest, please don't shoot? Did the officer comply with any instructions to put down a firearm? All of those kind of things play into these kind of incidences. And the only way to really, really get to try to avoid this and prevent it going forward is that officers are drilled, trained, there's clear policies, and there's scenario-based training for officers that get drilled into them, unfortunately, over and over and over again.
So more needs to be done.
Indeed.
Is what I'm hearing. It's what I'm hearing you say there.
Yeah, because policing is a particularly dangerous job, and the last thing we want to do is one officer shooting another.
Well, exactly. Well, listen, so we'll leave the whole undercover thing, because he wasn't undercover, plainclothes police officer, miscommunication, not enough training, more training needs to be done, and it's something we'll keep an eye on. Eldred de Klerk there, policing expert.